Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, and most jubilant sister in the world. That's right, my name is Minister Cherie Humphrey, and I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star is Born, Talent, and Talk to Me Media. Our motto is Standing Firm on the Promises of God. I want to thank everybody for tuning back in. If this is your first time, just sit back, get you some snacks, and just enjoy. Share the link, or share the phone number to call in to listen or hear it through your computer. We have two awesome men that are coming on tonight, both comedians. So we're going to have a great show. And this is talking about being on the brink of success and what that means to you and what that means to our guests. And so we're going to delve into that and a little bit more. But I do want to give a background on the show for people who have never heard this show before. Just a little bit. The show has been going on for 13 years as of April. Which was the anniversary for this show, over 500 guests, over 200 episodes, and over 10,000 listeners, reaching the U.S., Canada, Germany, Indonesia, Cameroon, Philippines, India, Ireland, Sweden, South Korea, Malaysia, Japan, Dominican Republic, South Africa, and Nigeria. So I want to thank everybody overseas for listening to this broadcast. Share it with your friends over there where you live. Thank you so much for tuning in. I will read the past guests at the end of the night like I always do, provided there's enough time. I do want to talk to you a little bit about what it means scripture-wise of being on the brink of success or how to get closer to your goals and to your dreams. And Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And this is one I have to constantly remind myself. God has been working on my patience for 23 years, and I've gotten somewhat better, but not where I want to be. And I have to remind myself not to be anxious, you know, to slow down, you know, breathe, and continue after that, you know, because sometimes we want something or we want to get something done so much so that we become a little anxious. And I don't want to be anxious for anything. And so let me move on to the next one. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Okay, I'm talking about all these things, all these good things. And, you know, sometimes it looks like bad things, but sometimes God may be building character. Therefore, it might be painful when you're changing or when your circumstance is changing. And I'm a witness. We don't got enough time to talk about that. So I definitely understand that completely. Do I like it all the time? No, I don't. Do I debate with God sometimes and question, ask questions? Yes, I do. You know, because I'm a thinker. I analyze stuff. I like to know what's going to happen. But sometimes we can't always know what's going to happen. And we don't know all the time what lies ahead of us. You know, he sees to the end. We only can see sometimes maybe not even a week, you know, a week in advance. So, you know, so that's something that really you need to take into consideration. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." And then the last one that I chose is Proverbs 15:22, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." And that is so true. In my walk of life, I've been in many different arenas and around different on different platforms, meeting so many people, various people. And one thing that I do know, you know, being around people that are wise will help you to become wiser or wise, period, if you're not wise. And having to make the right choices helps you to become wise. So in any case, if you would like to learn a little bit more on the scriptures, you can go to the New Living Translation I use, and looking up what success is in terms of spirituality. Now, I'm going to get into announcements and talk a little bit about what's going on and how you can assist or purchase items if you'd like. Announcements, donations, you can give to myself, Diamonds in the Rough, or by ordering arts and books. So you can go to my website, you can go to the book page, or you can go to the art page, or you can go to both. Read the descriptions of different things and choose them. Then you can contact me via text, inbox, DM, or email of your choices, and we will discuss payments at that time. I have Cash App, PayPal, Venmo, Square, POS, in person or cash. So you can contact me at 203-952-9807. If you'd like to, for me to be an MC, teach, preach, run a class, a forum on sexual assault or domestic violence, or have me as a spoken word artist, comedian, actress, slash director, which I've done, business consultant, which I've done many, many times, you can reach out to me. Fees and honorariums are mandatory. Payment plans for art is definitely accepted. So don't feel like, oh, I don't have enough for that piece. We can arrange something. And I do want to give condolences. I know a friend of mine, Angie Dime, lost her mother. And so my heart goes out to her. She's such a sweet, sweet young woman, and just hurt me to know that she lost her mother, because you only get one mother and father, you know, whoever that might be to you. Also, Renee Love, I know I've been on her show many times, She's been on my show. She lost a loved one as well. I don't want to actually say who it is because I don't remember, but I know she lost someone that was very close to her, and I know how hard that can be. So God bless you, ladies, and I hope you get through it. My condolences. Heart goes out to both of you and anyone that may have lost a loved one since we had the last show. I do see that my caller has called in, so I'm going to go to a very short music break, and I'm going to play a throwback here. And it's The Message by Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Broken glass everywhere, people pissing on the fridge, you know they just don't care. I can't take a smell, can't take the noise, got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back, junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breezes blow. A crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of garbage pails, used to be a fag hag, such a dance to tango, skipped the life and tango, a certain aunt princess seemed to lost her senses. Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she could tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so did it, she had to get a pitch, she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My brother's doing fast on my mother's TV. Says she watches too much, it's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night. Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. Got a bum education, double-digit inflation. Can't take the train to the job, there's a strike at the station. Neon King Kong standing on my back, can't stop to turn around. Broke my sacroiliac, a mid-range migraine, cancer membrane. Sometimes I think I'm going insane, I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me, call, close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head.
And that was Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five called The Message. I always thought it was Don't Push Me Close to the Edge, but I guess I was wrong. But in any case, that is a classic. And I'm going to plug my first caller in right now. Hello?
What's up? Is this Talk to Me Radio?
Yes, it is.
This is Marlon Baker.
Yes, everybody. Marlon Baker, comedian. And you know what? I met him at Mika Jean's show about 3 months ago. And these guys were just so funny. You were phenomenal. So I said, I got to have him on. And Marlon, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts.
All right now. Boston in the house. And you
yes,
told me
yes,
that
ma'am.
You have been doing exactly. You know, I used to live in Chicopee outside of Springfield.
Oh, yeah, that's probably about an hour and 15 from me.
Okay. Yep. Yep. But you said that you have been in comedy for 20 years. That's a long
yes.
time.
That is a long time.
That's a long time.
The longest job I've ever had.
Wow, isn't that something? You know, I commend anybody that does comedy, you know, especially if they're doing it full time, you know, because it's not easy to get up on the stage and just come up with jokes off the top of your head. I mean, do you do that, or you make up the jokes, you know, and write them down and memorize them? How do you do it? What's your process?
Well, basically, I do a lot of material, like every comic does. You do material, you know, you go over, you recite it, you cut things out that you don't need. And then in some situations, I do go off the top of the head, depending on the venue, depending on the people. And a lot of people seem to like off the top of the head. That's that right there to them. That says, oh, this person is really, really funny. I mean, they came off the top and saw this, and they made a joke about it. Yeah, so I'm like 50-50.
Okay. Yeah, because you gotta have a lot of nerve. You gotta have balls to do that, because, you know, some people can be real tough, you know, even though they couldn't do it themselves.
Of course, I mean, everybody thinks that it's easy, but when you're looking from the audience to the stage, it's like, oh, I can do that. But then when you're on the stage looking at the audience, it's like, okay, maybe I shouldn't be doing this, you know. So it's definitely different.
Yes. Absolutely. I usually do characters. I've always done characters, you know, when I first started doing comedy with the acting, you know, back in 2002. I have a grandmother act called Mother Meegot. So I do it ever so often, but it's definitely not full time. And you really have to be quick with it. You know,
mm-hmm.
What do you think are like three character traits that you must have in order to be a good comedian or a great comedian?
Well, I think stage presence is one. Stage presence is definitely first on the list. Another thing is that 50% of it is just getting up there. See, I've never been afraid to get in front of people ever since as far back as I can remember, you know? So, so the thing is, as long as you can get up there, stage presence, and I would say, like, just working the stage, just working your space, you know, facial expressions, you know, that goes a long way. People see that, because I'm more of a physical comedian, so if I had, like, a CD, you know, from back in the day, you can't just hear me. You have to see me, because sometimes I'm physical. You know, my arms are moving, my face is moving, you know, everything is
right.
Moving, you know, so, yeah, I'm a type of person
that
has to come watch.
Exactly. That's like a performance. Spoken word artist, which I am. So I get it, because, you know, the movements, some people have different niches. And if that's where you're your best, you know, people need to see you. People need to. So where are some of the places that you've actually done comedy at? Some of the places that have stuck out to you?
Well, some of the bigger ones is like Atlantic City, the Ocean Casino. I've done that last summer. Let me see. I've done Vegas quite a few times with some of my comedian brothers and sisters out there. Done L.A., you know, like the Laugh Factory, the Comedy Union. You know, so some of the places really stuck out because they're historical. I mean, some of the greats have gone there and moved on to be even greater. So, you know, just for me to be on that same stage is a beautiful thing.
Yes. Yes, I can imagine. It's like a surreal experience, you know,
absolutely.
Sometimes. Yeah. So tell me, what was your very best joke and what was your very worst joke in your career, if you can think of any?
Well, I try not to think of the worst. I try to put that behind me as much as I possibly can, but it does happen. I can't say what joke per se, but I mean, I do recall a couple of venues where, you know, I might not have been reluctant to come back only because of my own person, like, you know, that didn't go over too well. And it's worse when you invite people and you don't do good. That's like, you know.
Exactly.
I've had a couple of great shows at this place called Slade's. I've had some bad shows, and I've had some shows where it's like, you know, I just want to get a quick comedy, you know.
Right.
And everybody goes through that no matter what they do. You know, I mean, it can't rain every day, but you would hope that the sun would come out every day, but unfortunately it doesn't work that way, you know. So I might have like maybe 6 or 7 great shows, and then there'll be that one show that's like, didn't play any favor, you know.
Yeah. Do you think sometimes it got to do with, you know, fatigue, or, you know, you got that feeling like this is just not, I'm not feeling this place, or what do you think it might be in cases
sometimes,
where that has happened?
Sometimes it is like that. You get there and you kind of feel the vibe, and it's like, people are not paying attention. They're
right.
Talking, the sound isn't good, the microphone keeps cutting out. It's like, oh, man, this is not going to be good. But you still go up there and you try to put your best foot forward, even though you know it's not
right.
going to be good. But you say, you know what, let me just do it anyway and let's just see what happens.
Exactly. And it's a learning experience, especially for a new comedian. You know, I think you have to get through that bad sometimes to get to the good, because you're new and you're fresh. You
mm-hmm.
know, do you agree with that?
But when you're new, sometimes you don't even know that you didn't do good. You're just up there just trying to break the nerves. Like, okay, I got up there, did my jokes, I got some laughs, did get some laughs, you know. So but
right.
when you're more seasoned, you know, it's like, yeah, I didn't do good. Even if people came up to you and say, yo, you was funny. I said, no, I wasn't.
Right.
Sometimes you try to reach a certain, you try to get to a certain level in the joke, or even on while you're on stage for 15, 20, however many minutes, and you didn't get the laugh that you know you could get, that's like,
yeah,
I'm going to take my pants off, you know.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? It's the truth. And, you know, when you perform, even in different genres of performing, you get to feel out, you know, excuse me, that vibe and that atmosphere and, you know, all the things you're dealing with. I've had some crazy, crazy things that I could tell you about when I first started doing spoken word professionally. And some of the stuff was insane. You know, you got a 2x2 stage. People want to call it a stage, you know, where you move 1 second to the left or the right, you've fallen off that thing. You know, and like you said, messed up mics, the music ain't right, you know, popping or whatever, you know, or you dealing with somebody, you know, that's funky and stank acting and you don't know, you know, it's like, I just want to get out of here, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes. So, you know, how do you feel about the future as far as comedy? Do you think things are progressing good and looking up, you know, as far as, you know, people accepting? Because I think people started to open up a lot more to comedy during the COVID shutdown. What do you think?
Well, the thing is with comedy right now, I'm gonna be honest with you. I understand why Eddie Murphy stopped doing it, because people, it just seems recent. A lot of people just got a little, really too sensitive. You know, don't talk about this. You can't talk about that. You can't say this. And it's like, wow. You know what? It's like Martin Lawrence had a show called First Amendment. First Amendment is freedom of speech. You know, you should be open to it, especially if you come to a place to come and laugh. You know, you always got that one issue
right.
or that group that's like, oh, you know, if you talk about someone passed away in your own personal life, and they say, oh, well, my father just passed away yesterday. It's like, we really don't need that right now. You know, so
right.
it's just that it just become real sensitive. You know, so it's kind of like you almost
yes.
don't want to do it, or you got to kind of watch what you say.
And that's the whole point. I mean, far as I'm concerned, because, you know, back in the day, not even just that too long, maybe 10 years ago, you know, people knew if you go to see a comedy show, you might get cracked on, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're sitting in the front or whether you're sitting in the middle or whether you're sitting in the back. Like, Earthquake just, you know, he balled me out up on that stage. It was funny to me because I'm
mm-hmm.
so used to, I have a good sense of humor. I don't take
okay.
everything to heart. I love Earthquake. It was just like a dream seeing him,
mm-hmm.
you know, up close, you know, doing comedy. And I'm loud anyway. So that's just me. I like you. You got me. I'm going to tell everybody about you. You know, so people are, like you said, too sensitive. If you don't, if you can't handle comedy, then you shouldn't be at a comedy show.
Of course not.
For real.
Of course not.
I mean, it is just wrong to pick the comedian apart. And you, that's their opportunity to be free. They make jokes out of life. Don't you, that's what y'all do?
Well, it's supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be, but when people are too sensitive, it's like, let me watch what I say. And then you don't want anyone to meet you in the parking lot. It's like, oh, remember what you said? Like, oh, boy, here we go. You know?
Okay, that's ridiculous. You know, it's insane. And, you know, what made it so, what made it public, I mean, like, you know, was the Will Smith thing. Everybody know we talked about it. Everybody saw it. And it was just unfortunate, you know, that, I mean, I commended Will for standing up for his wife, but he did it the wrong way.
Yeah, wrong place, wrong
time. You
know,
yeah, wrong place, wrong time. You know what I'm saying? That could have been a conversation that could have been handled after the show. But in any case, what do you think was the first time you saw somebody in the audience that might have been laughing uncontrollably and it kind of shook you because you didn't know if that person was going to, like, choke to death or keel over and die? You didn't know what was going to happen. Has that ever happened to you before?
Not the keel over and die part, but the the uncontrollable laughter, yes, yes. You know, they'll laugh, or they or the joke is over and they're still laughing, so you don't continue until, you know, pretty much the crowd has kind of settled down a little bit so the other people can hear. But I would say that a scale of 1 through 10, I've probably gotten people to probably maybe about an 8.5, 9 at best.
Okay.
At best. And it's not every performance. It's just you got a couple of there that really stand out.
Right, right. Absolutely. I know, because I love to laugh. I'm a jokester. I've been that way all my life. And it's hard to stop when you have a really good comedian that's telling, like, jokes that are hilarious back to back. It's like, I can't breathe.
Well, that's ideal. That's what we like to go on stage and actually do. We would love to hit a home run every time. But unfortunately, it doesn't happen.
It does, And so how have people received you, like, in Boston, in your hometown, like, you know, people you knew growing up, like, was they receptive to you? Because they say the hardest audience is family and friends.
Because they know you differently.
Right.
They know you differently than strangers. But I will tell you that I do get people, you know, walking down the street that say, hey, they'll never remember my name. But they say, hey, Andrew, that comedian that was at X, Y, and Z last week, yo, he was really funny. You know, and that means a lot when someone can recognize you in public. That's like, oh, wow. You know what I mean? That really makes you feel good. And these are total strangers or people that heard of me or seen me before. I still have people who followed me from years ago. And like, they still keep following me. They say, yo, you're going to make it. We're going to be right there. And it makes me feel so good. I just did a show Saturday, and a woman came up to me after and said, you know what, you're right up there with Martin Lawrence. That's like one of the biggest compliments I can possibly get. When you try to compare me with somebody who's like really up there, that's like, okay, I'm still going in the same direction that I started 20 years ago. So, I mean, it takes a little while. Some people think because you've been on stage once, you should have already made it. No, maybe the right person just hasn't seen you yet, you know?
That's right. Exactly. That's why I talk about on the brink of success, because when you know in your gut of guts your time is about to come to where you're really trying to go, and you feel that thing, but you just don't know when, you just don't know how, you just don't know where you're going to be at, you know. So what does that mean to you, being on the brink?
That means that giving up right now is not an option. Well, it was never an option. But right now, I worked it 20 years just to let it go. It's like, no, you know, it's like that one more day or the next show. You know what, next month, I'm going to perform. It could be that one. All it takes, if you have 500 people in the audience, it just takes one. Just take one person. Hey, listen, this is my card. Call me Monday morning. And that's it.
Right.
That's all I'm waiting for.
Right. You know,
I mean,
and that's so
I'm here
true.
Right now because you saw me at a show. He was like, you know what? Here's my number. I want to put you up on my radio show. Look where we're at right now.
Yes.
One person.
Yes.
See?
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have been blessed to have so many dynamic, fantabulous people come on the show, you know, from different areas of arts and entertainment, ministry, et cetera, you know, because I learn from you all, too, you know, so it helps me, you know, not to want to give up, you know, because sometimes you feel like, okay, I've been doing this for this amount of time, I done put this much energy into it, I have sacrificed, you know, this, that, and the third. It's like, okay, when, God, when? And that's why I read those scriptures earlier, because I have to remind myself. What advice do you give to a young comedian coming on, you know, on the scene at this time?
Basically, I just say hit as many open mics as you can. Get out there, get seen, you know, work. I just tell them, if you got a hot 5 minutes, try to add 5 more minutes to that. Basically, a comic just needs 20 minutes of fire comedy. Because
right.
At 20 minutes, you can host, you can open, and you can feature, you know.
Mm.
A feature spot's 20 minutes. That's right in the middle, just before the headline. So if you got 20
okay.
minutes, but just work on 5 minutes at a time till you get to that 20.
Yes.
Sometimes it may take six
yes.
months to a year to get to that perfect 20 minutes.
Right.
So I just say,
right.
just
Absolutely.
Do as many open mics as you can. All genres. Go to the black rooms, to the white rooms, to the Hispanic rooms. Go to all of them.
Now, see, that's where you know it could be very tricky because you know your culture
mm-hmm.
and how to come up with certain jokes. So, how do you appeal to audiences of all cultures when you know nothing about their culture or you know very little?
Well, yeah, see, the one thing about all these cultures, everybody puts their pants on one leg at a time, okay? That's no different across the board, you know? So the thing is that everybody deserves a good time. So when I write my material or do my jokes, it's right down the middle so that all parties can laugh at, like, oh, I just had a situation like that 2 months ago. Oh, you know what? My girl's going through that. Or my girlfriend's husband's going through that. You know, situations, let me tell you something. Everything that you're going through, somebody else is going through. You know how they say somebody
yep.
else has it worse? It's just like that.
Yes.
So my material, I try to put it right down the middle so that everybody can relate to it.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. And, you
thing
know,
was,
when I first started,
I only did white rooms. I only did white rooms when I first started. I was scared to do black rooms. When I
really?
first started.
Wow.
When I started doing black rooms. Then I was like, oh, snap. And I started doing Hispanic rooms. And I started doing all the other type of rooms. And I said, I started collaborating them all together. And I said, this is what I got to do.
Okay.
I got to write all my material right down the middle.
And that was a smart move because, people did relate to you at the show that I was at and
mm-hmm.
could understand exactly what, you know, the jokes that you was telling. So, you did the right thing. In closing, is there any last-minute things you want to say? Do you have any shows coming up that people can know about so they can get tickets or anything like that?
Let me see. This Thursday, I will be in the North End of Boston, which is the Italian area. I love my Italians. Friday, I will be in Revere. And Sunday, I will be in Providence, Rhode Island for Father's Day. Anybody
oh.
can hit me up on Facebook. On Facebook, which is Marlon Baker, Marlen Baker on Facebook. And you can be up on Instagram,
yeah.
which is Marlon Baker, the number two funny.
All right now. Thank you so much for calling in. I truly appreciate it. And I really enjoyed this conversation. Please
oh, likewise,
stay in touch.
Likewise.
Yeah, please stay in touch. And you, I know you're going to do your thing at these upcoming shows.
I definitely
yes.
appreciate that, and I appreciate you having me on Talk to Your Radio. This has just definitely been a blast, and I hope to hear from you really, really soon.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Have a good one.
Okay. There you have it. That was Marlon Baker. out in Boston, Massachusetts. So go on Facebook and follow him. I'm sure he's on multiple different platforms. I am going to go to a music break before my next caller calls in. And let's see what I'm going to play, because I did download some good music. Okay, last night a DJ saved my life by In Deep.
Last night a DJ saved my life, yeah. 'Cause I was sitting there bored to death, and in just one breath he said, you gotta get up, you gotta get off, you gotta get down, girl. You know you drive me crazy, baby. You've got to turn into another man. Called you on the phone, no one's home. Baby, why leave me all alone? And if it wasn't for the music, I don't know what I'd do. Yeah. Last night a DJ saved my life. Last night a DJ saved my life from a broken heart. Last night a DJ saved my life. Last night a DJ saved my life with a song. You know I hopped into my car, didn't get very far, no. Before I had you on my mind, why be so unkind? You've got your women all around this town. But I was trapped in love with you, and I didn't know what to do. But when I turned on my radio, I found out all I needed to know. Last night a DJ saved my life from a broken heart. Last night a DJ saved my life. Last night a DJ saved my life with a song. Last night a DJ saved my life. Last night a DJ saved my life from a broken heart. Last night a DJ saved my life. Last night a DJ saved my life with a song. Hey, listen up to your local DJ. You better hear what he's got to say.
It's not a problem that I can't fix, 'cause I can do it in the mix. And if your man gives you trouble, just to move out on the double, and you don't let it trouble your brain, 'cause away goes trouble down the drain. Said away goes trouble down the drain. Dub time.
A DJ Saved My Life by In Deep. And while I'm waiting for my next caller to call, I'm going to do the birthday shout out. Birthday shout-outs go to my goddaughter, lovely Vanterpool, my friend of almost 40 years, Tanya Simmons, school friend Martin Riley, Susie Patrick, Barrington Bo Scott Henderson, Troy Oliver, who supported Diamonds in the Rough throughout the years, Tracy Vanterpool, Robert Fisher, Apostle Armando Munez, which is my apostle, Robert Fisher, oh, I said him already, Shakia Wright, my cousin, Tamar, Jerome Pierre, Tyrone Whitaker, who's like a cousin, Doreen Harrison, Shelly Roundtree, old school friend, Cynthia Bennett, like a mentor, Norris Tate, one of my previous students, Veronica Whistle Adams, Mary Mann, who has supported Diamonds in the Rough, happy heavenly birthday to my grandmother, Grandma Dorothy Rush, and Grandpa Charles Woods. Their birthday would have been this month. Sammy Maximum, Nooch Evans, my brother-in-law, Rodney Shorty Bethia, who was my DJ for many years with Diamonds in the Rough, Orve R. Gordo. I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce that because we used to call him something else, my previous direct, one of my directors for the McDonald's Gospel Fest when I sang with them, Sarita Garrett III, Darlene Davis Bowens, a cousin of mine. Congratulations to Marie Davis, my cousin. Her daughter Carrie has a new bundle of joy on the way. So God bless you, cuz, and I will be seeing you soon. And I'm going to go straight to my caller because he's called in now. Hello.
Hey, what's up? What's up?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing amazing. Amazing.
Great. Great. Everybody, this is Derek O.C. Reed. And I know you've seen some of the pictures that because they're posted up. Go to the slideshow. Excuse me, so you can see all the pictures of the guys that are on tonight. Now, Derek, where are you calling out of?
I'm calling out of New York City.
New York City.
City's so nice,
all right.
They named
Wonderful.
His wife New York, New York.
Yes, exactly. You know what? That's strange. I never looked at it like that.
Come on, baby. New York. It's the only state in the union that has named twice, New York, New York. It's not,
York,
not Connecticut,
York,
Connecticut,
exactly.
Or New Jersey, New Jersey. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The only state named twice.
Exactly, exactly. Well, Derek, tell me some of the places that you've played. I mean, you've done the Apollo. Most of the comedians and entertainers I have had on that, you know, I only picked the best to call in, most of them have been to the Apollo, including myself. So tell me, what was your experience like in some of the places you played?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on the show. I got to give you a props for putting me on the show.
You're welcome.
Apollo was an amazing event because one of my dreams as a comedian was to do the Apollo Theater. Someone was watching my career for a long period of time, and they saw me and decided to put me on the Apollo Theater. Now, the funny thing about the Apollo, when I posted I was going to do the Apollo, and this has never been done before. Very few people that sold Apollo out within 7 days. It was sold out.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was sold out. And the promoter calls me, and he says, I cannot believe how many people come to see you at this Apollo event. Because once again, you know, we have a large following, and events like that, our real supporters come out and show support.
Right.
And they really came out and show support. So when I went on stage, it was like family. I mean, it was like the cheers and the claps. It was just an amazing feeling to go up there and perform in front of people who have been following your career.
Yes, yes. And how did it feel to touch that tree stump?
Shit, I want to steal that sucker. I ain't gonna lie. If my bag was big enough, I'd have put that shit in my bag.
Oh my God. That, I wasn't expecting that response.
I'm gonna put that motherfucker in my bag.
Oh my goodness. Well, I thought you were gonna say something like it was surreal. It was like a dream. You just wanted to take all the people that been on stage.
I was going to buy the bag, pick it up. I'd have took that log and put it in my bag. Then had to buy a new log.
Okay. Okay. I got to stop because you're going to make me choke. So I know how, you know, the feeling, good feeling is, but that was amazing. I mean, because it's not easy to sell. Like the tickets like that. I mean, to fill up the whole place. You know, I only sold 100. You know, and most of that was due to my mama. So,
right.
You know, but in any cases, was there something that happened or that impacted you while you were doing the Apollo? You know, anything that comes to mind?
Yeah, well, what happens, my father is 88 years old. Has never seen me do comedy before. So I was able to VIP him a pass to get in, and he saw me perform for the first time. And I've been doing comedy 26, 27 years, and he's never seen me do comedy. But when I did the Apollo performance, he was in the audience. So that was a big treat for me because he was like, wow, I blew him away.
That's a blessing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
So.
Wow, amazing. And so what are some of the other places that you've done that stand out to you?
I performed at the Barclays Center, the home of the Brooklyn Nets. I was able to do a show there. MTA had a game, Buses versus Trains, the basketball game. And the halftime show was me telling jokes in the middle of the floor at the Barclays Center. So that also was an awesome day. Yeah,
I can imagine. And so, you know, 27 years is a long time. Is there any other things that you do along with being a comedian, or is it just comedy?
No. I'm an actor, writer, and comedian. I'm a triple threat.
All so, right, now. That's what I'm talking about.
I have a few things. They have something called Internet Web Series.
Yeah.
I'm in a few of the Internet Web Series. You can catch me on Bum Rush. It's B-U-M-R-U-S-H. We did three seasons of Bum Rush. So that's actually on the Internet. You can type it in and catch all three seasons. Shout out to J.D. Simmons and Dre Foreman, the writers and producers of Bum Rush, the web series.
Yes.
I'm presently writing some stuff. First of all, I got to say that I want to write a book about the comedy game, the ins and outs, the ups and downs, the pros and cons of what we go through behind the scenes. See, people don't know what goes on behind the scenes.
Promoters,
people shortchanging your money. It's just, but we have to still perform in front of people, and they don't know what goes on in the background, you know. You got promoters who you finish the show, you're supposed to get your pay, and the first thing out of your mouth is, you want a drink, man? You want something to eat? No, I want my money. That's what I want. When they start saying that, you know you're getting shortchanged.
Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah, when the show ends and they say, let me holler at you for a minute. Let me talk to you for a minute. You want something to drink? You want a beer, a glass of wine or something? You want something to eat? When they start saying those words, that means they're coming up short with your money.
Right. So, or they can get you drunk so you can forget about your money. So.
Yeah. Yep. I don't need nothing to drink. I need my money, all my money.
Right. Absolutely. And that's what you should be getting. One thing I learned when I first started doing Diamonds in the Rough, after a while, because I had come up across some similar situations, especially with the doing, you know, spoken word and all of that. And I would make a contract up myself, type that up, both parties would have to sign, and agree on the money, Exactly, and I want my money before I perform, not Absolutely. After. Give it to me Absolutely. Before, because people got some games.
Yeah. And see, these are the things that people don't see.
Right.
I like to deal with what is called a retainer or deposit. Like, if you're going to book me for a show, give me half my money up front to lock that date in. Now,
yes.
the contract that I deal with, it stipulates non-refundable. So if you cancel
right.
that show, that money goes to me. Non-refundable.
Yes. Right.
So once,
right.
once you locked in for that date, and if you decide to cancel, oh, well, I just got some money for doing nothing. And
right.
you also have to put this, you have to put this also in big letters. This cannot go towards another show. Because what they'll do is, well, I gave you the money up there, apply that to another up-and-coming show. No, that's for
Mm-mm.
this show. The up-and-coming
okay.
show, you
got
to give me another deposit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's a lot of ways they try to, I call it, put the banana in the tailpipe. I'm not falling for the banana
yes.
in the tailpipe.
Right.
You know?
Right.
If you're going out of state, and I don't know if this young comedian listen to this right, if you're going out of state, you must stipulate round trip, airfare, bus fare, or however they're going to get you down there, make sure you get a round trip ticket.
Yeah.
Because they'll give a one-way ticket to you, pay your money, and then you got to buy your ticket coming back.
Right.
You know,
out of the money
the
you
things,
deserve.
Exactly. So these are the things you got to specify when you're dealing with a lot of these promoters out here. If you don't know, you're going to lose a lot of money. I don't deal in handshakes. Oh, let me shake your hand and it's a done deal. No, I don't deal with handshakes. I don't deal with, can you do me a favor? I don't deal with those.
Right.
You know, the word show is a lot smaller than the word business. Learn
right.
the freaking business.
Yes, 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 yes. I had to learn and the hard way. And a lot of times it gave me a bad taste in my mouth, but I also realized I was blessed as well because I always had a lot of artists that would, you know, give of themselves and their talent for some of my shows that I used to do with the children and stuff. So, you know, I looked at it that way as well, but mine was a church syndicate, and it was like, you know, a lot of people like to play games and use God or, you know, you should be doing this for free. But after, you know, so many years, you got to stop doing things for free. You know, that put me in a position to be homeless, not getting paid all of the times that I should have been getting paid. You know, that could have gone in my pocket. I learned the hard way, being nice. And so what do you think, what if you had to reinvent yourself, you know, just in a wishful thinking type of way, what would you do if you had to reinvent who you are?
I wouldn't change nothing. I wouldn't change nothing, you know, because
right.
although we had to learn the hard way. If you could take that learning experience and learn from it and don't make the same mistake again, then it's well worth it. You know,
yeah.
I wouldn't change anything out of my years of doing comedy. I've worked with some amazing people over the years. Now, people classify success by the amount of money you make. I don't agree. I classify success
right.
by the body of work that you've done. What's the body of work that
right.
you've done? That's my success.
Yes.
Money will come eventually.
Yep.
I mean, I am getting a little money, but the real big money will come eventually. But my success
right.
is on the stage of Paul Mooney, Dick Gregory, Michael Collier, Bill
wow.
Feather, and on about the people I work with. That's
yeah.
my success.
Yeah.
You know,
he was just here, too.
TV. What's that?
Bill Bellamy. Bill Bellamy was just here, too, in at the Stress Factory in Bridgeport.
Yeah.
This past weekend.
So,
yeah.
So, you know, to work with those people, to me, that's success. You know what I'm
yes.
saying? Cole from Martin. I can go on and on the people I worked with. And like I said, people don't classify that as success. That's success to me. Anytime I watch
yes,
somebody go on for a TV and I'm working with you, I'm in a green room with you, we chopping it up, drinking and talking shit.
Right.
That right there is my success.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can't, words can't even express, because not only is that something that is building you up, you know that you, how good you are when they put you on the same stage as these men that have been doing comedy forever and have made a great impact. I saw Paul Mooney once, and I didn't like him. Don't get me wrong. I didn't know about him that way until I went to the show. I just didn't know him like that. You know what I'm saying? So growing up, you know what I mean? He wasn't like a comedian I saw. It was always usually Eddie Murphy, Martin, people like that. So when I went to the show, he was off the chain. I mean, this man had me, I was laughing and crying at the same time, you know. So I get it. I get it, you know. What would you say to someone that is doing comedy right now that can get them to the level you're talking about, where you are right now?
First of all, you have to decide, do you want to be a professional or an amateur? An amateur comedian just goes on stage with no, I like to call it, how do you say it, the comedy package. The comedy package means that you should have a business card, a headshot, a bio, a resume, and a website. These are the things that you need to have. If you don't have these right here, you're messing around and you're playing games. You know, as a professional comedian, if you say to me, oh, listen, I want to see some of your work, I'll direct you right to my webpage. You can go to my webpage.
Right.
It'll show you my headshot, my bio, my resume. It'll also show you some clips of my comedy.
Right, right.
Business card, people they don't use a business card per se anymore. They use something called a barcode. I don't agree with the barcode, because I'm not going to stand there, 100 people coming out of the venue, and I'm not going to click phones with 100 people. So
right.
I can hand you a business card, boom, you keep it moving, and that way you can pretty much get everybody.
Yes.
The barcode is good. It's good, don't get me wrong. But who's going to stand outside of a show with 150 people and try to click everybody's phone?
Nobody.
That ain't going to happen.
Nobody.
You know, so I'm very old school with that. And if you don't know what a resume is, a resume is the body of work that you've done over the years. Anything
Absolutely.
That you've done as far as comedy, you put it down, put down the date.
Yes.
A bio speaks for itself. A bio tells you what you are, where you're from, where you're going, and where you expect to be in the future.
Right.
A lot of
people
don't have a bio. And it's ridiculous.
And I don't understand that part. I don't understand that part, because when I first started doing entertainment as an adult, everything you just mentioned, I created. I wrote up. I made. Because I was surrounded by people who had the same type of wisdom that you had. And I said to them, I don't have nothing on my, you know, far as acting. I haven't done nothing, you know, but maybe two plays maybe at that time. And so one of my friends who's in movies right now, who introduced me to Spike Lee and so many other people, he said, fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
And before you knew it, that resume was filled, not just with acting, but several other genres, you know?
Absolutely.
And you can't say you're a professional. I'm like, okay, where do I go to see your bio if you don't want to send me one? Where do I go? Where do I look at? You know, and I get it. Like, I have an e-card, because you're not going to be throwing my stuff away and I'm wasting money with all of these different business cards every 5 minutes. And, you know, you wasting my money, you know. So I come up with an e-card.
Okay.
You know, that way you're not wasting nothing. You got the person's phone number. They serious about you. Boom. I'll send you my e-card.
Yeah. Also,
have you used that before?
I'm in the process of updating it now.
Okay.
Electronic press kit.
Yes. Talk, talk, I mean, get electronic and see what happens. You got to invest in yourself. Nobody's going to invest in you. You know, you
right.
have to say to yourself, okay, I'm going to spend $200 on a professional headshot. I'm going to go to a professional photographer. What they have is called a wrap sheet, not a wrap sheet. I can't think of the name right now. But in other words, they have this sheet. You're going to put on several outfits. They're going to take about 40 pictures of you, 40 to 50 pictures of you. After you take the pictures, he gives you the negatives. You look at the negatives and you say to him, okay, I want this as my headshot. And that's the picture that you use for your headshot. But professionally means
right.
that he's going to get you all kind of angles, all kind of outfits, everything possible within an hour session. When
right.
the hour session's done, he's going to give you the sheet with all the negatives. He's going to say, which one do you want as your headshot?
One.
And it's up to you to choose which one you want. But it's done professionally.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes, I know exactly what you mean. I have two, but I definitely need to update them. so, yeah, I get it. I get what you're saying. And so this book that you want to do, I think it would be great because people need to know in any art area of arts and entertainment, you got the showmanship part, you got the creative part, but many people don't know the business part. And this is why, I mean, I sit here and watch Unsung and see how all these people just lost their money. I mean, it don't make no sense. I mean, from back in the day to now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, what would you say would be far as like, you said $200 as far as an investment, but handling your money, how would you deal with that? Because, you know, advice to people.
Okay. I would tell them to get all forms of payment, Zelle, PayPal, Cash App. Don't accept checks. Cash, or if you're going to accept something, a postal money order. So get your banking
mm-hmm.
system set up so that you're able to receive money and it goes into your account.
Mm-hmm.
I don't accept personal checks. I got a check now from 5 years ago that's just still bouncing. But I don't deal with personal checks. All my contracts specify either cash, postal money order, cashier's check, Zelle, PayPal, or Cash
okay.
App. Those are the form of payments
okay.
I accept. And I'm
right.
telling you,
right.
as an entertainer, you're supposed to have several forms of how you can get paid.
That's right.
Yeah, that's another thing these comedians don't have. They don't have a banking system set up for that. You know what I'm saying? Like I said,
yeah.
it's a business, man. It's not even
– It is.
It's a business. And you have to run it like a business. You know?
Right.
Always
right.
about your money. Always be business-oriented. Because people can tell if you're business-oriented by how you speak.
Mm-hmm,
by how you project.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell me,
right.
OC, I got a show for you. The first thing out of my mouth, I'm going to hit you with the top dollar. I'm going to say, well, you know what? I need about $1,000. Well, we can't
right.
give you $1,000. And that's how you work. You work and you talk down to a agreeable amount that you're going to do the show. But you always hit them with the
yeah.
high ball. You never hit with the low ball because they're going to go lower than the low ball.
Exactly.
You hit with the high ball and work your way down.
I'll give you $5.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, unreal.
But you always
I'd rather
gotta,
you not give me anything.
But you always got to work
I'd rather,
on that aspect.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, you always got to work on a high ball percentage. You know, because like
right.
I said, most of them are going to talk you down anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm asking for 1,000. I might get 600. That's what I wanted in the beginning. But if I start at 600, they're going to go under 600. You feel me?
Yes. Yes.
So.
It's true. What you're saying is absolutely true. When I first started doing spoken word, of course, I did it for free because I was, you know, testing the waters. But then when I got picked up by a record company, then I started to say, okay, let me charge for people keep asking me. It was just too much. And then after a while, you know, it became a job. And so then I'm like, okay, if this is going to be a job, I definitely need to be compensated for my service, my time, my gift, my talent. And then, you know, some people, they don't want to pay you, but they want the best person there doing whatever it is. And I think that's just not right. If this 2003 and you give me $50 in 2003, you're not going to give me $50 in 2013, you know, or 2023, because obviously you've gotten more seasoned in what you do.
I will say this, never sell yourself cheap. I mean, I can't tell them the amount of phone calls I got. Hey, man, I got a show for you. It's only paying $100. And I'll say, no disrespect, but I can refer you to somebody who will do it for $100. I'm not coming out of my house for $100. $100 is gas money for the car I drive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it has to make sense. It has to make sense for you to do it. I'm not going to say I get paid all my shows. A lot of times I'll try new material in an establishment with people. I'm not going to give you the paid show, but I am going to work on some new material.
Right.
But I'm not, you know what I mean? So a lot of new comedians, they want to get paid every time they go on stage. That's impossible unless you're an A-list comedian. That's impossible.
Right.
So in order for you to stay current and stay sharp, you got to go on these stages, and you got to do 5 or 7 minutes and get the hell off. Don't do a long period of time. Just five or seven just to stay sharp, to stay current. You know what I mean? Even though I got 27 years in the game, there's many times I go on stage. Like I have 2 shows on Saturday. I don't have any shows up until Saturday. So what I'm going to do right before my show Saturday, I'm going to go on stage 2 times just to be sharp, just to be crisp. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Work on the craft if you are an up-and-coming comedian. Work on getting funny. Once you're funny, they're not going to deny you. You can't be denied money. When you're funny and you have a routine and that is conducive, it's consistent, you're going to get paid. These comedians want to get paid immediately, nigga. That's like you going to college. And you become a doctor.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
Yeah, but it's like you have to do you got to, like, doctors just don't come out of high school and become doctors. They have to go to college.
No, they don't.
They have to put in work. They have to put in time to be good at their craft. They get the degree. Now they get paid.
Right. These sometimes you don't get paid then.
Exactly. These guys want to go from point A all the way to Z. What about B, C, E, F, G? You can't go from point A all the way to Z.
Absolutely. Yes.
You know?
Yes, true.
And it's not a sprint. It's a marathon, people. It is a marathon. Mm-hmm. You want longevity in this game. You know?
Right.
Let me tell you a story about me real quick. Let me tell you a story.
Go ahead. Take your time.
At 4 months in the game doing comedy, I was tearing stages up. I got somebody see me and decided to put me on Carolines on Broadway. This is like 1988 or 1990 and shit like that. Like back in the day, you couldn't get in Carolines unless you were really, really funny. Somebody saw me put me on stage at Carolines. I go to Carolines, had the best routine of my life, only 4 months in the game. Now, a casting director comes up to me. She says, "Hi, I like your routine. Here's my card. I'm from NBC. We're going to fly you out to L.A. to shoot a pilot. Come to my office on Monday with a headshot, bio, and a resume." I had no idea what that was. I'm a new jack. I'm four months in the game. I got called to do a major TV show, but because I didn't know the business aspect of this game, opportunity was missed.
Dang.
Opportunity was missed because I didn't know what a headshot, bio, and resume was. Learn the game, people. Learn the
shit. That's the truth. That's the truth, because when I started Diamonds in the Rough, my reverend told me you need 11 board members. and you need to call a board meeting. And I was like, what? I'm like, I don't want no board. I just want to be creative. You know, I don't want to deal with all of that. I didn't even know what a board was. So I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know,
not knowing.
I understand. Yeah. And you know, you can miss opportunities and people can really take advantage of you. You know, I recall a time when, you know, being asked to be on the WOW Gospel Tour as the poet, no other poet but me. And I said, you know what? I don't know what this man talking about. I said, I knew at that time it was time to get a lawyer.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I did. And these people were talking nonsense. You want me to quit my job, be away from my home and my apartment for so long, and then where am I getting money at? How much are you giving me? You know, I had so many questions. That's why I said I'm not going to play with this. Get a lawyer, because if they're on the up and up, they're going to tell the lawyer and this person are going to come to an agreement, because I've already talked to the lawyer and told them what I want and what I'm not going to accept. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I get it.
And people just call it entertainment lawyer. Entertainment lawyer.
Yes. That's exactly
that's
what
it's called.
What I
entertainment
have.
Lawyer.
Yep.
They specialize mm-hmm. in contracts, TV, movies, commercials, or any other aspect of the entertainment field.
Yes. Yes. And you know, because – you know, it's sad, but it happens. You know, people get taken advantage of it, but yes, I see what you're saying. On one hand, you know, you're just starting off, you're a baby, and you don't know what to do. You might be the cutest, funniest baby in the world, but you don't know how to get your money. You know, you don't know how to, you know, build yourself up or to do the things that you need to do in the classroom. You know what I'm saying? The written part, you know. So now you need to be taught. You need to be taught by somebody you can trust in your circle, you know, that's going to tell you the right thing to do and how to do it. So you didn't have that?
I had a mentor early on in my career. He's the one that put me on, because I was just doing strictly white rooms. And the first time I did a black room, I got booed. And I couldn't understand because I'm tearing these white rooms up, but black people are a little bit different from our white counterparts. We want it now.
We
want it then. We want it sharp. We ain't got time for no bull crap. And I got booed off stage, and I got off, and I couldn't figure out what I was doing wrong. So God bless my mentor. Name is Cortez Jackson. He walked over and said, hey, man, you're doing too many white rooms. You got to get with us, the black people. It's going to strengthen the economy. It's going to make you a beast. So I started doing shows with him, and my comedy grew. I started becoming a strong comedian with any audience. Because once again, here in New York, they'll boo you. You got 3 to 5 seconds. 3 to 5 seconds on that stage. If you don't catch them in 3 to 5 seconds, you're going to have a bad night.
Yeah.
You're going to have a very bad night. So I started working with him. He showed me how to do the black and white rooms, do both of them. You know what I'm saying? The white rooms, you're going to get seen for commercials, movies, and so forth. The black rooms, like going to the gym, you're going to strengthen your comedy. So I always tell people, do both. The ghetto room you can do, learn how to work that room and learn how to make them people laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because comedy is funny because there's something, and this is going into the book as well. There's comedy clubs and there's comedy rooms. Let me explain the difference between a comedy club and a comedy room. A comedy room is a place that's not conducive for comedy. You put a DJ in there, you put a stage in there, it's in like a local bar or something like that. But you set it up for comedy, which is much harder because people are not used to hearing comedy. They're there to meet girls. They're there to get their drink on.
Right.
So when you introduce comedy to them, it's a little bit harder than a conventional comedy club. The comedy club, people come to hear jokes. They know what to expect. So the comedy club is a little bit easier than the comedy room.
I get it. Okay. Because I know Jackson, I was going to everything that Jackson did down at the Metric last year and did a little skit, comedy skit myself. And I just loved the atmosphere when he turned, when he, they turned it into a comedy spot and then had the dancing afterwards. And he brought so many people in there that were like, you know, Howie Bell was there. I interviewed Howie Bell, like, I don't know how many years ago, 15 years ago, you know, and then I saw him again. He was there, and, you know, but you're right. You just don't never know what you're going to get. But I loved it. I loved when Jackson did it, and I hope it comes back again. And Mika Jean, I love, you know, her comedy as well of the comedy shows, you know. So it's like, you know, you can never tell where you're going to be receptive at, because I got a great reception there. Did it again in New Haven. They don't know me. They going strictly by, okay, they not even trying to give me a chance because there's a booze section, I was told. So I got through it, and but the good part about it was that I was able to tell the jokes after, because I was capping on all of them, and that part was funny. My Asia and I was, she was sitting there cracking up. Now, how is it that I can be on the stage, but I'm better at cracking on people when I'm off the stage? I mean, it don't make no sense. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Well, that's in the book as well. We are funny in front of our friends because we're comfortable. The trick about this comedy is to try to psych yourself to say, everybody's my friend. Because when you go in front of a bunch of strangers, it's harder to make them laugh because they don't know who you are. If you can psych yourself up and say, oh, this is my family reunion, these are all my people, this is my cousins, and you psych yourself up to say that these people know you, you know, and that's the trick. That's one of the tricks about stand-up comedy. You know, a lot of people are funny at the dinner table sometimes, Thanksgiving. Like, God damn, you should be a stand-up comedian. No, it's not that simple. It's really not that simple.
For real. Well, go ahead.
And once again, there are certain techniques, people. There are certain techniques that you have to know to be a stand-up comic. First of all, it's timing and rhythm. It's like a salsa dance, timing and rhythm. We have something that's called premise, setup, punchline. That's the formula of a joke. Premise, setup, punchline.
Okay.
If you follow that formula, you will be successful. I'm going to give you an example.
Give me an example of that. Okay.
Okay. I mentor a lot of comedians, too, about this simple kindergarten joke. Okay. I'm walking down the street at the premise. I tripped.
All right.
At the setup. The punchline is I fell into a bunch of dog shit.
Okay, got it.
The premise is I'm walking. The setup is I tripped. The punchline is I fell into a pile of dog shit. So A,
okay.
B, C. That, I use that analogy because it's a simple kindergarten analogy that everybody can get.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you tell your jokes in that manner, you'll always be successful. You always got to have a premise.
Right.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Once you find out what you're talking about, then you have a setup, and then of course you have the punchline. So that's what I tell comedians: you have to write your jokes in that formula. That formula will never change. You cannot change that formula. It's been done since the beginning of time. If you tell your jokes in that manner, you will be a successful comedian.
Right. Right. Yeah, I like improv, even with the acting. I do better when I can just do something off the top of my head. But when I'm doing a skit, I have to have bullet points of what I'm going to do. You know, that's just me, you know, how I do it. That's the way I process things, because I can do something more quick with it, you know, just without having to follow a script. You know what I'm saying? Or some kind of notes or anything like that. But when you're starting off, I get it, because you know, you gotta get a, you gotta first of all be confident enough to even do it. You know what I'm saying? So, how do you build? My last question, because the show's gonna end in like 9 minutes. What? How do you build your confidence up? What would you say to people that are scared to get in front of other people?
I would tell them to do open mics first. Build your confidence, open mics.
Okay.
You know, once you build a confidence up, open mics, then try to hit, like, main stages. Open mics is for you to try to work out material. It also helps you with your confidence.
Yes.
But as you get older in the game, you don't really do open mics because open mics are for amateurs.
Right.
So that's a starting point for you to get on stage and to work your craft.
Right.
That's what I would tell
right.
somebody. Because like I said,
mm-hmm.
comedy is not for everybody, and everybody's not for comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it is a game where it is the most hardest form of entertainment you'll ever do because no two shows are the same. Let me say this
Truth.
Again. No two shows are the same. If you sing,
right.
you sing the same song in every state you go to. Every show, the same
right.
song.
Yeah, right, right.
You cannot do that as a comedian. You have to switch up, alternate, and figure out how am I going to work this crowd? What can I say to connect with this crowd?
Mm-hmm.
So be advised.
Yep.
Don't think that you ripped up one show. Every show is different.
Every show is different, yes, it is. I know that from acting, and I was with the Perry Players and some other groups, and we do the same show for different days and receive different types of reception, you know, from the audience. So, yeah, I get that part. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Thank you so much, Derek. Did you have something last minute?
My social, what's that?
Go ahead. Shout out to you know,
I
your show,
get everybody
social,
my
media.
Social media. My social media platforms. On Instagram, it's DEE_red2001. Facebook.
Okay.
Derek OC Reed. Twitter. Derek92403. And my webpage is www.comedianderekocreed.com.
Okay, and they can go there, too, to see what, get tickets for any events that's about to come up that you're talking about that you're getting ready to do, like Saturday, you said?
Yeah, Saturday I have two shows, and as comedians, learn to do a clean routine. The first show I'm doing is inside of a church. The second show is in
right.
a comedy club. Learn the art of clean comedy. There's so much money with clean comedy. I do church functions, old folks' homes. I do school functions.
Mm-hmm.
You can't curse.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have comedy that's conducive and is family-oriented. Can't go in there cursing
right.
the B-word, F-word, not inside of a church.
No, absolutely not.
Learn it.
Like, this is supposed to be a clean show.
Oh, you didn't tell me that. You didn't tell me that. I'm over here cursing like a sailor.
But it's okay. It's okay, you know,
bleep
supposed
out.
To be
bleep
family oriented, but I get it, huh?
Yeah,
what'd
bleep it out, bleep out the curses.
Yes, bleep. but you were, you know, I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you for taking the time out to be on the show, for, you know, just being you. And that's, I don't like to stifle anyone. You know, I think that everybody has something that they can share and not have to feel like they're being gripped with a noose or, you know, not being able to be themselves. And so I appreciate it. And I hope to see you again on the stage. I really enjoyed you at Mika Jean's comedy show where I met you. So, yes.
I'm
going to
leave you with this.
Work.
I'm going to leave you with the saying, people, you're only as good as your last show. Take that
All right
into
now.
Consideration
yes.
when you hit that stage.
Yes. Yes.
Which means that you can rip today and tomorrow have a mediocre show. You're only as good as your last show.
Right.
Thank you for having
okay.
me on the show. I really appreciate it. And like I said, I got some things coming out in the works, people. Documentaries coming out with me from Hollis, Queens. Look out for that.
Tag me,
a lot of celebrities.
Please.
Yeah.
Okay, tag me
in documentary.
In the...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is going to be, if, whatever you have, just tag me, because if I'm not, even if I'm not interviewing you, I can mention it, you know?
That'd be perfect.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Okay, you have a great day. Thank you for having me once again.
You too. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. There you have it. That was Derek O.C. Reed. The first caller was Marlon Baker. Phenomenal guys, great comedians. So follow them and what the shows that they have coming up. If you missed anything, you can always go back and listen to the show again after it uploads. I am going to go to a very quick break, and I'm going to play a little bit of M2Me, Sugar Free. Thanks, everybody. You are tuned in to Diamonds in the Rough Talk to Me Radio. This is Cherie Humphrey. We have been talking about On the Brink of Success, but I do want to just read the Salvation Prayer in case you would like to give your heart over to God, and then find someone or some place that you can grow, get knowledge, wisdom, and become seasoned. This is coming out of the New Living Translations, Romans 10:9-11. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. And so I am going to continue to read the past guests, even though it is not streaming anymore, but you could still go back and listen to the show in its entirety. Just bear with me a second. Okay. Those who have graced this show that I can remember is many, many, many more than this, but this is still a lot to read. Those who have graced my show has been Ms. Jones in New York, Original Cinderella, DJ Juan Kuhn, Michael Dunham, Benita Brooks, Ernest Brown, Tamar Cardwell, Al Thomas. Oh, by the way, the Summer Groove is coming up. I'll be doing media. It is going to be on August 12th at Seaside Under the Dome. So contact Ernest Brown for more information. Also, Melba Moore has been on the show, Cece Pennison, J.J. Harrison, Christopher Williams, Bernard Jackson of Surface, Doobie Powell, Curtis Blow, Stacey Lattisaw Jackson, Glenn Jones, D. Lucas, Yo-Yo, the legendary hip-hop artist, Donnell Jones, legendary R&B artist, Special Ed, legendary hip-hop artist as well. Also, Davey Lozano, Randy Young, Joe Show, Nick Kelly, Nick Agneto, the Green Violinist, Tony Redd, Darren Cookie Moore, Calvin Richardson, Wendell B., J.D. Lawrence, Marcel Lashley Davies, Richmond Punch, Carmichael the Music Lover, Isaac Zellner, Norman Tappan, Chris Clark, Mo Green, Monique Smith, Dre Romero, Spencer Camp, Cool Mike Ski, Wasan Jackson, Craig Kelly, A-Plus Hollywood, Tony Bird, King the Barber, Jonathan Du Bois, Jr. and Sr., Ame Du Bois, Ken Mathis, Elder Jeanette Green Washington, Pastor Joseph Green, Avis Daniels and Andrea Daniels, my mother and my sister, Charles Fulton, Sebastian Tribby, LaVon Briggs, Jonathan Gates, Mika Jean, Hope Flood, Howie Bell, J.P. Justice, Drew Frazier, Capone, Jay Alexander, Gerald Kelly, FSW, Pastor Brown, Janice Dempsey, A. Curtis Farrell, the producer of the McDonald's Gospel Fest, Riff, Easy Taylor, Keisha Rainey, Judah Seeley, Darren Cookie Moore, Rashawn Langley, Kiki West, Tiffany Tazell, Omar Wilson, Phoenix Fire, Misconduct, Ricky Allen Drawn, J. Trini Goren, Coffee Goren, Deborah Williams of Her Game 2, Don Nod Nottingham of The Stylistics, Midnight, Sonia Hudson Payne, Trina Seymour Bowers, Lauren G., Sheila McCoy, author ML Brooks, Odelia, Marcia Sapp of New York, Carissa Dow of New York, John Hinton, Lou Humphrey of BSE Recordings, my cousin, Pastor Felicia Cunningham, Bernadette Barnes of New York, Kent Barrett of WNHU, Jerry Green of WYBC, Rasheem Dixon of WYBC, Ashley Mondestin, Pierre Guten, Steve Wallace, Sierra Clark, Lyle Hassan Jones, Pastor Arlene Henry, Songbird, Day Farrell of California, Travis Sims, Jason V. Watts, Maris Goldstone, Dwight Lamar of New York, Herb Boyd Jr., Tyrone Dunmore, a.k.a. Terrible T, Candace Rena, Bobby Ramos, John Lawson, Matthew Kirkwood, former producer, assistant producer of the McDonald's Gospel Fest, Damon Cook, Prophetess Brenda Culpepper, Big T, Tia Swentz, Satanya Ford, Lachey Nicole, Tamar, Jerome Pierre, Greg Hill of the Delphonics, Robbie Jenkins, Marilyn Moore, Naja McKenzie, Najia Treat, Gloria Cummings, Darlene McGee, Pastor Gene Smith, Dr. Green, Rodney Bethea, Lynn Mosher, Darlene Madison, Chandra Shabazz, my cousin, Carolyn Smith, Kayla, Elder Savanda Gaskew, Frank E. Brady, Mr. Counsel, Nini Ali, Pamela Wright, Spencer Camp, Kaylin Jackman, Amari Daniel Bay, Jennifer Armistead, Robert Williams of Blue Magic, Jazzy Matt, Dr. Jamal Bryant, Jamaica Morrison, Ernest Richards, Michael Jones, Denzel Williams, Gina Blaze, Connie Johnson, Lamar Taylor, my cousin, James Fountain, Lisa Mellers, Jeanette Zax, David Davis, my cousin, Anthony E. Brown Jr., Ernell Grant, Brian DeCausey, Doremius Williams, Matt Jones, Sheena Bailey of New York, Cool Bubba Ice, Humphrey Bogart, Marlon Randolph, Asante M. Robinson, Johnny Lemon, Karina Fort, Tishy Anderson, Renee Love, Treasure Marie, Steve Wallace, Ebony with an X, CeCe Lee, Kaylee Roselle, Top Notch Band, that was interviewed with the media, Norman Tappan, Monique Smith, and some of these are with the media reporting that I've done. Vicki Winans, Pastor Shirley Caesar, Donnie McClurkin, Mighty Clouds of Joy, Jennifer Holiday, Damian Marley, Little John, Sierra, Little Bo, Elephant Man, Terry Crews, Mary Mary, Bobby Valentino, Dietrich Haddon, Nigel, Dr. Jell Dunkley out of New York, Janet Dawson out of Atlanta, Velasquez Singers out of Jersey, Walter Armistead out of New York, Ashley Welfare, Walter Taylor, Janice Murray, Lawrence Green out of Jersey, Sammy Maximum, and John the Apprentice, Tony Doc Hardy, and Anthony Delavin, and so many more. And if I have forgotten your name, charge it to my head and not my heart. Okay, I got that right this time. God bless. I'm going to take you out with another song by M. Toomey called COD, another throwback.